Good
Yeah.
morning, LinkedIn friends, Valley First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Valley First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It's Thursday, November 6th, 2025. How are we doing, Nico?
We're doing good. It's another day. Some more breakthroughs, some more announcements, some new advances with Google. And, you know, those flying monkeys, man, they won't go away. They see green and they can't help it. And they're back and the sky is falling again. Apparently I wish I could tell you what makes it go away for a little while. Right. Cause that's what's weirdest to me, in this whole 2.5 year story of the sky is falling. What's most interesting to me is that there's been like pockets of times at which they were willing to admit the sky wasn't falling, but then almost immediately went back to saying that it was again. And so what I'm talking about is the just mountain of stories that have picked back up about how AI is a bubble. It's all a big bubble and there's nothing behind it. There's nothing to see behind the curtain. It's all fugazi. And that would be true. It's kind of funny that you could use AI to undo the BS that's out there in the reporting, right? So what's funny is that like most people will tell you, they say, oh yeah, it's overvalued. It's certainly not going to make the monies that they say it's going to make. And to me, it's like, wow, okay, oof, that could be bad, but I should probably go take a look at the numbers to find out if that makes sense. If they're not making the monies, the numbers will show it. Their profits will show it. The percentages won't line up. So I'm going back and I'm looking at NVIDIA because I look it up. And first I did a half hour of AI research to pull together who were the top companies that people were talking shit about. And it really only came out to be Google, NVIDIA, Palantir, AMD. And a couple people said Oracle, which you're nuts. So fine. Okay. We'll look at those five. We'll see what happens. Take a look at their percentages for their profits quarter by quarter, year over year, last year to this year. Most minimum increase, 38%. Most minimum increase of Q1 last year to Q1 this year. And you know who the minimum was? Palantir. You know what their maximum increase was? Q3, 89% year over year. Yeah, it sounds like they're not doing well. You know what I mean? Like, even in their profit margin is not like skyrocketing yet because they haven't hit deployment. They're late stage, like they're pretty much late stage testing on the drones. That drone fleet looks sick, by the way. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty scary.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, to answer your first question of what makes this go away, it's AI. It's the only way. I think this is another spot where humans cannot fathom what's possible, and they will talk about what they think is possible or all of the things that make them feel comfortable. And just, I mean, if you just break down, like, we are... The amount of our foundation that is built on speculation is ridiculous, right? And that's where the people who know that have been playing that game for a long time are the ones that have built a lot of wealth over time. And they're going to continue to try and play that game as long as they can, which I think... That's where, without going like Illuminati route and all that stuff, like, let's not go there, right? Because we don't have to, right? It's pretty easy. And now it's easier for them because of AI to understand like where the zeitgeist is at all times, right? And it's very easy. And because everything moves at the pace of one day, right? If everybody's focused on the shutdown, right? And there's probably you know, behavioral data saying, like, if you talk about this thing today, it's not going to hit as hard. So we're going to hold that story back. We're going to hold that narrative back today. And we're going to focus on this other thing. Like, that's where I would guarantee they're using AI models to help with that narrative, which is super ironic because those same models are going to learn, you know, from them doing that. And like, meanwhile, like in the greater picture, like, it's not going to, it's just, these things are so unlikely to pass. But what we've always said is the caveat here is if humans just decide to tear it all down, like, that's the only thing that's going to stop it, which, right, we're not going to put that past humans being capable of doing that. But it's getting, it would have to be like catastrophic, apocalyptic style, like revolts to slow this down. Because of, yesterday I shared, AI designs antibodies from scratch with atomic precision. This is out of the University of Washington, where researchers successfully used AI to design fully functional antibodies entirely from scratch, achieving unprecedented atomic level precision. The advancement published yesterday in Nature represents a paradigm shift that could dramatically accelerate drug discovery time from years.
Yep. To what?
To weeks. Right. And this was like, if you know it. So I was lucky enough during the pandemic to be at a company that had a bunch of, you know, pharmaceutical expertise and understanding how that process works. Mm-hmm. And the pandemic is a good example. Even without AI, the constraints that everybody had to work in, which is basically get this shit done as fast as possible, they threw out so much regulatory bullshit, like, got out of the way. Like, they didn't do most of the work that gets done that makes things take 3 to 5 years, because they had to get something done right now. It was the fastest, like, go to market ever for like a vaccine. And it was because they had a bunch of smart people working on a specific thing, and they could make decisions like, yeah, we don't have time for that right now. Like, we're just going to get this thing done. And like, so yeah, that's without AI's help, right? And just strictly like getting rid of regulatory barriers, right? Now you get AI involved and you start to build, you know, AI is going to help remove a lot of those barriers as well, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Because
it's going to go so fast that none of the governance is going to make sense anymore. So you're going to have to rely on AI to build new governance. This is a cycle, like, folks. And because of things like this, where it's health and it's human life, good luck getting in the way of that, right? Like, you're not going to be able to, like, who's voting for you? Like, if you might get some monies from people trying to stop that from happening, but man, let me tell, like, how's your population gonna take that news? It's like, yeah, I don't like this medical advancement. It's making it easier to be healthier.
Right.
So AI is, again, because humans are going to human, AI is going to be the answer here too. And it's just, wait and see, I guess. But yeah, like, they don't have the control on this one.
They don't. You know, I want to shout out Chad Stam, because he sent us an article yesterday. And this article comes from Uncharted Territories, Thomas Wayo, and talks about, is there an AI bubble? And what he goes through is similar to what we're talking about, which is basically just this comparison of what the worth is of things. So, like, why Wall Street struggles really hard right now is because there is this thing that exists that is being held down, especially the number one source of it is being held down, OpenAI, by being a public beneficiary corporation, right? So it is not beholden to the shareholder. So it's not attractive to a lot of these people. It is automatically, right? Like Microsoft is, you know, most people consider like Microsoft, AMD, Amazon, Google to be blue chip stocks, right? They're stocks that you can bet on that you can't possibly lose on because over time they will always be worth more than where you bought in. Again, they're still like corporations that are working towards the shareholder, right? So it's in the shareholder's best interest. Public benefit corporation to me is way better than that because one only really has to care about whether or not it's making more money quarter over quarter. The other one pretty much has to just care about whether they're doing the job the right way, right? It's a very different mindset towards how you're going to make money. One capitalizes on value and makes money because it produces value. The other one, sometimes fugazi's the value. Sometimes they take their monies and buy monies with their monies, and that monies makes their monies worth more monies. That's what I see those corporations. They take their profits and they buy back their shares and they say, oh yes, we're worth more because we bought into ourselves. Okay. Sounds good on paper. Looking at this article, what you find out, and I'll post the link to this as well. Wish we could put it in the chat here, but you know, StreamYard. And what it goes through is basically looking at where the money is being spent by comparison to what people are saying the income or like the earnings on it is going to be. Again, they make these comparisons with like .com. They make these comparisons with all these other previous things that have existed. Not really accurate comparisons. The one that I really like is a chart that shows CapEx based on like what the underlying infrastructure is, right? And we've talked about many times about the fact that this is an infrastructure-based technology. So the core of that infrastructure, much like cable was the infrastructure to internet, data centers are the infrastructure to AI, right? Without the one, you can't have the other. So data centers are going, since they're going to be that new infrastructure, right? I think we're only at 5,000 or something like that. I know I say that like it's a small number, but I mean, we dwarf everybody else in the world. It's not even close. Like we absolutely dwarf every other, including China. Like it's ridiculous. By the way, we dwarf China and they're still right on our heels. Just saying. And that's only because Netflix, Amazon, you know, all of that stuff, Spotify. If you have something that uses Wi-Fi, it uses a data center. Let's just put it that way. Okay. Or it's connected to one in some, like you're sharing. Yeah. Anyway, so that being the case right now, I think data centers are only about 2% of GDP is what this chart is showing. So that's with like not even that many people using ChatGPT at the level that they could be, right? They're also saying, oh, well, chat users or ChatGPT is not making the revenue that it should be making. Of the 800 million users that they have currently with the tens of billions they're making, that's from 5% of their user base. So they're currently projected to make around 18 billion this year, right? They thought that it was going to be 10. They're already past that. I think actual, or at least whatever somebody's able to get a hold of, is something like 11.8. Sam is saying it's closer to 17. Either way, they're able to get to that with 5% of their own user base. This isn't like, if we had 5% of the overall pie. No. They own the pie, right? They can decide if they want users to pay more for the pie. Right now, they're just being really nice about it, as they should be. and it's only 5% of people. I guarantee you, as the usage increases, as people start, you all know how it works. The more you use this thing, oh man, ran out of prompt limit. All right. And then you sign up. And then your head explodes because now you have all these other tools that you didn't even know were there before. You're doing all so, and it's game over, right? So if
that's the thing, like this case, we've talked about like the intelligence, and I say things like it's good enough for most of the human race right now and what they're going to try and use these tools for. I think that's like as soon as GPT-5 hit at free. Like that was true, right? And like so much of this breakdown, like these 95.5 breakdowns are present like everywhere around us. And when 95% are happy with the result, they don't hit those barriers and they don't like, you know, even if they should, they probably don't need to, where they dig into like, oh, this chat's too long and the answers are changing. They're not doing complex enough things to like even like have that matter. And I like what this is reminding me of, because the speculation game is what's so just stupid. And it's the part that humans won't be able to get right, so AI is going to be the salt. Like, you get rewarded based on how good you are at forecasting your future, not necessarily high performance all the time. And like, it prevents you from documenting big hairy ass goals and moonshots. And like the moonshots are behind the scenes. Like you can't tell the market that's your goal, because if you tell the market that's your goal and then you even get to 80%, it's like, oh, you missed it. Even though 80% is way farther than anybody else expected you to go, and you created so much value on the way there. Like my first corporate experience, I literally, within the first month, I had to come to terms with, I could not budget for a big win because we were graded on how good you are at budgeting versus like how much performance like would happen. Like how close did you get to the plan, right? Instead of putting something way out there and then getting 80% there, which would have been twice as far as had you like played it safe. Right. And that's the crazy part, that AI just, that doesn't make any sense, like really AI and really the intelligent humans that have really pushed everybody, you know, forward through these companies. And like, this is the crazy part, right? I love Chad's breakdown here from the article. As Pueyo says in his article, the crux of this entire bubble conversation hinges on one thing: will AI be useful? What the fuck is that question? Like, honestly, he cites references that say adoption is slowing in the business community because they're not yet seeing value. He cites sources that many companies are not experiencing benefits, but he also says this does not mean it's a bubble. Rather, he relates it to electricity and how in the beginning, factories had no idea how to implement it. It took total reimagination of manufacturing. Like, think about that, folks. When electricity first came out, surprise, people weren't prepared to use it. The infrastructure did not exist. I mean, think about electric cars. Like, they are not all over the place because we have gas stations. We don't have charging stations.
It's the same with railroads, right?
This like, is the part that we should just be able to look back and be like, oh, yeah, that's how this is going to work. That's how
infrastructure works. Yeah.
Right. That's why I'm starting to go there with people right away. Like, let's not even talk tools, collaborators, whatever. This is infrastructure. This is a new layer of infrastructure that's never existed before.
Right.
Right. So to think that you can forecast how much money's you're going to make, like, it's ridiculous. Right. It's
not only like the newest, right? When you look at the types of infrastructure, right, that you mentioned, it's like, in a row, there it was like rail was the highest. So in a row, it's like rail was the highest level of infrastructure, right? It was worth the most in terms of its investment. Electricity was second to that. Rail was like 6% of GDP. Electricity was about 4% of GDP. Military is about 3%, 3.5% of GDP, right? From World War II, Cold War era, like just military industrial complex design and all that kind of stuff. Again, we're already nearly 2% of GDP in basically, I wouldn't call this like the strongest first year. Again, I'll say this is the strongest first year of AI data centers. Data centers in general, no. But AI is pushing, I don't know, Project Stargate. You know what I mean? Like they were like, oh, Microsoft's pulling back on data centers. Like, oh, is that because they just put in a whole new project that's going to dwarf what they were doing in the first place? Yeah. So I guess Microsoft's going to pull back on that and not bother to blow those out because maybe they don't need them right now. Like, you know, the amount of money that's going into this stuff that's getting poured into data center spend is so ridiculous in terms of like how much bricklaying is going on. And the companies that are doing the bricklaying could stand to do it for the next like two decades before they actually lose money. So like Microsoft, Oracle, Amazon, Google, Meta, Nvidia, they could keep pouring money into this stuff like drunken sailors and they wouldn't see profit loss for like 10 to 15 years. Right? So that's how long they're going to keep doing it. If you look at like how much is being thrust into this investment, that's what's crazy to me. And look at where it's coming from. So the investment, the first and easiest way I can say this is nerds don't bet on things they're going to lose. That's the math, right?
Yeah.
That's the math. It's just, they don't do that, right? NASA doesn't lose. I don't know if you guys pay attention to nerds. They don't lose because they maths. So if it doesn't maths, they don't bother doing it. And I got to tell you, all of them are as hard in as I have ever seen anyone put money on a table. Like everything, Meta is emptying pockets to the point where even their shareholders are just like, whoa, take it easy, guy. Like maybe not spend so much money. He's like, I'll start spending my own personal monies. Right. Like that's how much he's into it. Right. So then I look at outside interests, right? Who else is interested in it? Man, practically the entire like private equity market is into this thing. And then I look at corporate market, like private lending. Turns out a lot of private lending happening, and that's getting turned around and put it into AI companies as well. So essentially I'm seeing all this late stage, late game buying happening, right? And then last week I hear that Jamie Dimon, who thinks that there is an investment bubble coming, is just going deep on AI investment. Oh, and by the way, Oracle was managed to secure a $40 billion loan from a group of banks. So yeah, not only are the nerds betting on it, but even the money guys, right? Like even the penny pinchers, whatever you want to call them, like those, you know, from Game of Thrones. That's, I keep thinking of the central bank, right? And it's like, they don't bet on stuff unless it's going to win. And the scientists don't bet on stuff unless it's going to win. Both of these guys are betting in the same direction. And the only ones who are betting against them are the crows, the financial analysts that sit up on their branches. And,
guy is falling now.
All right.
Oh man. Yeah. And like half of this bubble conversation is like these groups are finding new ways to work together within the system that's been given to them to make investment happen, to make sure they're a part of this party. Right. And just because we haven't seen it before, we're like, oh, this is kind of in cycling, like they're just giving money to each other and that can't be right. We've never seen that before. Like, yeah. Like, meanwhile, it's being done in ways like, yeah, if they weren't doing it, they would have nothing else to do with their cash. Like literally. And if they were to suggest that they would just choose to do something else because it hasn't been done this way, like boards would be smacking them in the face. Like you wouldn't be able to prove that it's a good investment to make if you invest on other stuff.
Right. Like, and it, you know, the reason that I think the reason that most people, and what's cool to me about this is that the longer it keeps going on, the less they are going to be able to keep putting forward that this is a thing. Try to understand that, guys. Like, Chris just read you a story about it. Yet another breakthrough that's so monumental that the costs of R&D are about to plummet. In some cases, not in all. But that's where, like, just medical R&D costs coming down that dramatically. Again, the ripple effects are insane. Right? And we're talking about the best part. We're talking about if it's currently deployed and people are using it and maximizing it, then you haven't increased overhead. You've only increased revenues. You've only increased value. Right? So it's almost like saying that every company currently, so far as I understand it, has a minimum 30%, maximum 80% window of revenue increase year over year that they could potentially be hitting depending on the successful, if you want to call it, I don't want to call it deployment. I'm tired of that. I'm so tired of that term already, like successful deployment of AI, right? Deploying AI tools, right? Yeah. I got to tell you, like, I'm going to rail hard against it. And my way of looking at it is not a matter of you need to deploy AI tools. You need to deploy AI training.
Yes.
Tools, that's what you need to do.
Deployment won't mean shit if nobody's using it or right. adopting it. Or like how we haven't learned this lesson in 30 years of software. Right.
And it needs to be like you have to understand, like, orgs. I know all of this stuff is counterintuitive. It's a new thing. It's a new wave. We have to change the way we've been approaching this. If you don't change the way that you've been approaching this, that's why you're not seeing the change. Because you're not doing anything. If the AI figures out how to reverse climate change, it won't be it will do it for us. It will be that we have to take action and we have to change in order to do it. Right? So
yes.
What ends up happening is like you end up having this entire org of people that you were trying to, and I'm telling you from experience, I'm telling you, you're trying to teach an entire group of people, right? And that group is going to vary. The experience level is going to be 1 to 10, 1 to 50. It could be zeros in there. You have no idea. And inevitably, you're going to lose at least a third of the crowd at any given time. Because of the fact that the content won't be relevant to them. Now imagine this is your organization and most of you are working remotely and all of a sudden eyes start darting elsewhere on the screen and you notice it. I have noticed it as an instructor. It's super annoying. It's not super annoying to me because of the fact that the person's not paying attention. It's super annoying because the content that I'm trying to teach is not tailored to that person. So now they're losing attention. It's my fault. It's not theirs. I don't put it upon them to, oh, you didn't pay attention to what I was saying. You missed it. No, I wasn't solving their problem. So they didn't give a shit. That makes perfect sense. The best way I do training, one-on-one. You show me what you know. You show me what your problems are. You show me how you work. I will show you how we can adapt this to your process. The number one way that I like teach people how to use this stuff, most everybody I know is already using the tool in one way or another. So the number one way I teach people is just, hey, did you know that you could do this with what you're already doing? Yep. I'm not going to show you something different. I'm not going to say, oh, well, you have to start learning this tool and you need to start learning this platform. No, just like, let's just go with what you know. Maybe you don't know anything. And then we go from there. Maybe you know everything. And we talk about what you know. And we talk about whether we can take that further or not. But it's never going to be a one size fits all.
Yep. Application at the individual level. And here's the question you have to ask. This is a simple shift. Like if you can start asking this question instead of the question that you're asking right now, which the question you're asking right now is how can AI work for our organization? The question you need to be asking is how can our humans work with AI? And the tough part is the only way to answer that is with training that you're not used to doing and you don't have infrastructure for, and you just want to bring in the tools and just have it work. That's not going to work. So don't come complaining to the market when, oh, we're not seeing the value. Like, no shit, you're not seeing the value. Like, you've not been good at doing things like this in the past. So why? Oh, we got to wrap there today. But we'll be back tomorrow. It is that question. Like, just try it. Like, if you've been worrying about how does AI work, how is it going to work for us? Just switch it a little bit. It's like, look at your humans. How will they work with AI? If you solve for that, you win, right? So we'll be back tomorrow. It's Friday tomorrow, right? George B. Thomas will be with us. And we'll be back for another round to help you with some value first AI. Thanks so much, Nico.
See you then, guys.